clocks are synchronized. It's 5:30. Let's call the order of the Johnson County Hospital District meeting March 1st. First agenda item would be approval of minutes of our meeting from January 25. I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
They're approved. Thank you. Our Chief of Staff, Dr. Rice, must be.
Chief of Staff.
Any medical staff issues, Mary, that you're aware of?
No.
Okay. Well, let's proceed then with our leadership reports. Lori, you're first in line.
I did submit our promoting interoperability in meaningful use, and we've had that. And basically, it's a bunch of stuff the government says we have to monitor for quality assurance, and if we don't meet them, then they start deducting money from our Medicare. We have to do it every year.
How would you define meaningful use?
Oh, they want to know, one of the big ones is how long from the time you decide you're going to admit somebody from ER until they actually get to the floor. Well, not, I shouldn't say that, it's from the time that you admit them and the time, yeah, from the time you decide to admit them and when they actually get admitted. And so we have to go in and put that on everybody that's admitted. We have to go do that by hand because that stuff doesn't cross over because the number changes in CPSI. So that's probably really the worst one I've done.
I noticed on our HCAP scores, we again did well, but I think they're the same scores that we looked at last month.
Yeah, I just see they just came in today, and I really haven't had a lot of chance to go over them other than I saw one that they said that the rooms and the bathrooms were cleanliness was 20 points higher than last time, which I thought was interesting. With all the construction, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, you comments, too.
Yeah,
I'll give comments.
Any other questions for Lori Hansen, our administrative assistant? Thank you, Lori. Mary Litzel, director of acute care, head nurse, overtime worker extraordinaire.
I don't think I have anything to add. We had, I told everybody last week was a long month. It was, we were busy with OB, and last month was a, we had a lot of patients in. And it's great. That's what we do. Take care of it.
Sounds like I was just going to ask about the makeover breakfast comment. Sounds like that's a hit.
It's a hit.
It's the same, and it's the same. And it's like, you know.
It is, and it's amazing. Omelet, biscuits and gravy. Oh. It, fresh fruit that's amazing. I mean, they're doing a great job. Patients are loving it, and dietary, I think, is loving it. Savannah's making some great changes. She's, the food's been great. They're doing a lot of, they're getting rid of all canned vegetables. They're getting rid of a lot of processed food. They're trying to do home-cooked meals, and they're doing homemade food. They're doing a great job.
Do you think our lunch prices are going to go up?
I think they could, and nobody should be sad about it. They're pretty cheap. I mean, I got salad bar today, and it was, I mean, there it was full of stuff for $5. It's usually four by complaint. I mean, you can't eat any of these cheap anywhere.
Any questions for Mary?
The anxiety of the move.
Oh, I can't wait. We're all getting very excited about putting our supplies away because having a nice organization. Because right now we're living in a, you know, how are we removing and that mess.
Don't tell Mr. Odell, but we've been sneaking over into the wing and looking at things.
Yeah, what's great?
Anything else for Mary? Thank you, Brenda.
I have a couple things to add. So the made to order breakfast is very popular with the residents, and everybody's eating 100% of their meal because it's exactly what they wanted, with the exception of one gentleman. He just got too excited and put down a whole bunch of, marked he wanted a bunch of stuff, and then when they brought it all to him, he was like, well, I can't eat all that. That's what you order. I think he's toned it down a little bit. I don't believe we have had a resident COVID case since maybe July, but we are in outbreak status now. We do have residents and staff with COVID. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about our survey because, you know, we had one deficiency in healthcare, and we ended up with zero, which is so remarkable. And it's just what it represents is a team that does a really good job. And I don't think it hurt that the day the surveyors came was the first day that we had the made-to-order breakfast, and the residents were absolutely giddy and happy, and so that sure played into it. You know, when we have deficiencies, we just have to put our, you know, nose to the grinds down and get the deficiencies taken care of, and it's a few months of usually pretty intense, stressful work, so we are avoiding all that. That's really nice. In life, safety, there were a couple deficiencies, and one of them had to do with wires in the sill and touching or something like that. And the other one was a couple residents, and they do this together. They enjoy going out shopping and show me everything they get and the great deals. They go to the secondhand stores, but it accumulates and accumulates and accumulates, and they just simply have way too much stuff in them. So that'll be a tough one to take care of. Okay, like this.
Have you designated someone to check the wires in the ceiling now?
That's maintenance. I'm writing that one up right now.
It won't be me.
I don't think I've been aware of a survey that had no deficiency. Wasn't sure if they ever did that.
We've had maybe two or three in the past 30 years. I know I kind of looked at the other facilities, and I see Powell had one this year, but that's the only one I found.
Any questions for Brenda?
Yeah, quick question. You say in your notes here that you're following up on some applicants from Indeed. It sounds like CNAs. Is that?
Yeah, I followed up. They were on Indeed. There were four or five of them. I followed up, and none of them called me back. We do have next week, we have five coming in with the training with Sheridan College. She likes to bring them to Amy Holt. And four of them are local, so we're going to really pursue those.
Give them a free breakfast.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Well, what about the clinic? Do you have any good news?
Nothing beyond the report that I submitted.
Okay. Business was up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Our new PA getting filled up.
Yeah, he's slowly. I guess one thing I could add in there, we're changing things a little bit. So in May, he's actually going to go to KC one a day, and Chelsea will stay here. So they'll share the load in our KC population. So we're looking forward to that. I think that will help out a lot to get him down there and have Chelsea here a little bit too. So we're looking forward to May for that reason.
Did you mean to say one day a week?
One day a week, yeah. So that's the one day a month.
You said once a day,
once a day.
Thursday.
Is the construction causing any problems in the clinic at this point, or is it too
early? Pretty random, hit or miss. You know, when they're chipping stuff off the side of the building, it's really loud, but we're just shifting, we're just pushing everybody to that side, and it hasn't been a problem. The biggest thing is just parking right now for patients, but they can do for now. everybody's really excited. You know, you talk to all of the older population that remembers the entrance being on this side of the building. Oh, I get to go back in ground level. Yep. So.
Very good. Well, that completes our leadership reports. Now we'll have a report from our CEO.
Yeah, it's been, well, here's the story. I just want to thank you guys for your flexibility in letting me be gone last month to be with family. It meant a lot, so I really appreciate that. The Wyoming Hospital Association Trustee Conference is scheduled again. It's going to be the 18th of May, and it's going to be in Casper this year. If any of you guys have interest in trying to attend that, I don't have an agenda yet for what they're all talking about, but they're wanting to get that date out as soon as possible to let you guys know. So, construction-wise, I think things are going pretty good. It's definitely been a lot of work the last month and a half trying to just make decisions and make sure we're getting that end product that we desired. You know, we're instituting for phase two, we're going to do a page flip next week. Besides the walls and kind of overall layout, there's been some difference in vision that we've had to try to make changes to, and or hold people accountable to things that we had talked through that weren't maybe designed that way. And so I think, I mean, American probably test, I think we're going to get exactly what we wanted in the long run. It's going very smoothly, but here from that standpoint, to actually get where we want things to be. So, but the rooms are looking great. I mean, every time we're over there, there's more detail done. And, so there's going to be, so, you know, I sent you guys all text. The plan, we're going to do an open house on the 9th from 3 to 6. So if you guys can attend, maybe for a portion of that time, it'd be great for you guys to be able to be there. We're still waiting for the emergency power. So that's still, it's currently at the Mexico border, so we won't get a ship date until that actually gets through customs for that to get here. So there's going to be quite a bit that has to take place after that gets installed. A lot of our equipment runs off emergency power from the server room to the HVAC and all that stuff. So there's a lot, you know, it's running on temp power right now. But Jayco, the electricians, are well aware of the holdup that this is causing, so they're pretty committed to get this flipped over as soon as they possibly can. And then we're continuing to work on the planning for phase three. I was kind of hoping we'd have that done by now so you could be taking that to bed. But there's been a little bit of a shift in trying to have a little bit of foresight into the future for OR growth and different things like that as tweaks in our plan. So wanting to create space before we go invest money into something that we have to go and change in the future. So we're not wasting dollars in this process. So. So I think, you know, with that being the case, there might be some areas we end up showing out that we don't quite finish, and there might be some different. We talked about, like, central sterile, is the space is too small, so they're having cooling issues with when they're getting things processed, so they need some additional space. So we're looking at some different options there. And so we'll kind of be presenting some of those things in the future as well. So, staffing continues to be a bit of an issue. Dr. Schuler and I talked about a week ago about just the issues with lab staffing. I think our team deserves a round of applause. Their attitude and effort over the last several months has been commendable. But it's just not a sustainable model for them to continue to carry that load. We have a traveler, and I just approved extending her. So she was going to be done next month, the first of next month, and so we just approved extending her again. We don't really have any good applicants for the manager position or for backfilling the staff position. So we have signed a contract with a recruiting agency to help us look. It's just getting harder and harder, and I know finding that finding somebody certified. We're getting a ton of applicants for people right out of grad school with like a chemistry degree, no medical experience or anything like that, that want to become new managers right off the get-go, that really don't come in and help us or have any experience to really serve in that role. So we get about one of those a week, it seems like, but as far as qualified candidates, it's been really sparse. So, and then Amy Holt continues to have aides and has lost more CNAs, and you know that continues to be an issue from that standpoint as well. For some positive news, the state legislative sessions have gone pretty favorably for us in the long run. There's been several bills that were pretty negative towards the healthcare space that have all kind of failed. So that's been a positive. I think the Wyoming Hospital Association has done a tremendous job in advocating for healthcare, especially with all the turnover in the state legislature and educating people on what those bills would actually have an impact on our daily operations. The funding for the ARPA grant is going to make it into the budget. I touched base with the Hospital Association today, and that's the plan. The last I heard, they were going to try to fund the remainder of the grant projects that are in. So that would be our clinic and hospital grant. So nothing, I guess, is guaranteed since I thought it was guaranteed a couple months ago. But I'm very hopeful that we'll still get funding in place from that. They've also budgeted for a rate increase for Medicaid. They're looking at it kicking an additional $11 million from the state, which would come with an additional $11 million in funding from the federal government, which would actually be a 22% rate increase for us across our service lines. So if you look at what it's costing to run a patient day in the nursing home, the Medicaid rates just do not, they don't match up to the increased inflation. So I think this is a great move from the state, and will definitely be very helpful for us moving forward, seeing those increased rates. And then there's another one that I think they're, can't remember if this is on third reading, and they're really hopeful that it's going to get passed, but there's one for extending Medicaid postpartum care for a 12-month. Normally that was a very short window, so if they have ongoing care needs after delivery, that would be an extended time period. So hopefully that should be helpful as well. And then the next thing, we had to submit our Desmet property for rezoning to be able to put office space in there. So we had that hearing yesterday afternoon. We got temporary approval for the rezoning through the end of the year, and the one condition they put on it is parking. Parking continues to be an issue. They had we had to send letters to the surrounding neighbors, and so they had four people write in voting against it, and all of them simply just cited the parking as an issue. So I think it's something we really need to probably take a look at. It sounds like that's been an issue long before we started construction and limited parking space, that we just continue to have staff down to submit. So I did call the engineers who designed our remodeled parking with that plan that we had approved. We pick up one additional parking space, which I don't know if that's quite enough to really meet the needs. I guess it, if you add up all the spots we have, it meets we're exactly at the needs we have. But when you look at where people are accessing our building, I think we have some wasted space. And I think there should be a little bit of help with PT moving, but the Lots Street is really where we have a lot of staff parking. So that's going to shift staff parking to have therapy patients parking over there. So I think there's a couple directions we can go, but I think that's something we're going to have to look at, how we invest in that in the future and do that in a way that lets people actually park on our campus. And, you know, I think we have staff that are walking a couple blocks from day to day, and if you try to get into a parking lot during the day, over the last couple of weeks, it's been really busy. We've actually had, you know, Joanne over at the care center was asking people to go park out of the parking lot because we didn't have spots for family members who were trying to come visit their families in the nursing home. So So something that is just continuing to be ramped up and becoming bigger issues. So I think that our covenant, we have to add 5 or 6 parking spots. So there's a couple ways we can do that, but I think our need might be bigger than just adding 5 or 6 spots. So we'll try to get some pricing in place, and we'll bring that to you guys' attention moving forward. That's all. So it's pretty quick.
Did you say construction is on budget and on schedule?
Yeah. We're not quite on schedule from what we had originally set. The biggest issue, and I guess this has kind of been known for months, is that emergency power switch like that. The guts of that have been kind of delayed since we were like a month or 2 months into the whole project. They started kind of saying, hey, this could be an issue. We can't get a delivery date on this. So at least it's been created, it's been shipped, and so we're making progress from that standpoint. But part of the reason for doing the open house now is the ability to do it. So when we actually gain access to the space, we can...
Sorry.
It's on vibrate and it's on silent. So I have no idea.
It didn't listen to you. So when we actually can gain access to space, we can get moved in and start seeing patients over there. And I think the ability to have the community come in and see it and us do that in a HIPAA compliant way, I think, is really important. So
next week we can come. You want us just to come to like where the nurses station is?
Yep. So we'll come through the lobby, and if you just head down towards the hospital, we're going to get some signage up as well. And I'm having them open that barricade up at the access hallway to be able to walk over there. So.
Any sense for what kind of participation you'll get?
I'm not quite sure. I've talked to some people and been out in the community, and Ashley are going to go to Ashley and myself are going to go extend some invitations tomorrow with some different business owners and different, you know. So we're going to go kind of hit the pavement tomorrow and extend invites. But the people I've talked to have been really excited and wanting to come see it. I think there's definitely excitement in the community for what's going on.
Other questions for Luke? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, Becky, it's time for our financial performance.
It's going to be pretty.
It'll look pretty good, really.
All right. Okay, so January gross patient revenue was just slightly down from what we budgeted, $536,000. The other operating revenue, that number is the quarterly payment that we received for the nursing home. I was expecting that. It's just off on timing on that budget number. Expenses continue to stay under budget. We're under about $96,000 for January. And we finished the month at a positive $239,000. Year to date, again, revenue continues to stay under where we anticipated that being. Expenses are also doing the same thing. $300,000 under where we budgeted expenses. And year to date, we are at $155,000 gain. Looking at stats, not all green like last month, but still looks really good. Nothing really stands out other than our numbers for PT and OT here have increased significantly. Clinic for the month was up from prior year, just down slightly year to date. So. Other than that, there's not really a lot that stands out on staff unless you can see something. Looking at this one, AR numbers increased both clinic and hospital from December. The big one is our days cash on hand. That finally did drop, like we've been anticipated. We're sitting at 96.9 right now. I was going to go in and update these numbers for today's balances, but it really didn't change significantly. So I left those alone, but you can see where cash has finally dropped.
And that's primarily payment for construction?
Mm-hmm. It is, yes. I have started reaching out to Travis as far as financing. We do have a payout that's coming up, which will be probably the first draw on that one. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get to it.
Can I ask a question on that? You know, our cash balances and construction and so forth with Miguel. Have we given them like $1 million that's sitting in some kind of a escrow account? Or
the retainage account?
Yeah.
It's not that high.
No,
I think it's
like just over $300,000.
Yeah, I was going to say around four. So.
Yeah.
But that is all set up now, and they're sitting on that retainage account.
Yep.
I'm just curious.
I think since I had that retainage account set up, I made that initial deposit to set it up, and then I think I've only moved money into it one time, because that's the only payoff we have to set up. So that'll be another one coming up with my statement. And then the only other thing I have on here is income statement, but I don't have anything significant to call out on this one. Professional fees is the one line that is showing significantly off, but that's where PT and the travelers are falling, which has been consistent. I did call and talk to the auditor today to kind of get an idea of where we're at on our audit. He's still working with Mark at PTQ, and they've been working through the AR number to figure out what that adjustment is going to look like. We did also have some changes to appreciation that are needing to take place, so they're working through that piece right now. He didn't really give me a solid time frame because we're still trying to work through all of the people. Once they get 21 cleaned up and those adjustments, then we can work on 22 and we get that audit finalized.
The changes in the depreciation schedule are just with the shift from auditors, and Becky and I were kind of talking through this, and it didn't quite sit right, so we started digging into that. We had originally depreciated with the suggestion of our auditor to be over 39 years of useful life. With the cost, and this is the big thing, and I think the importance of working with people who really specialize in healthcare, because with the cost report, we get to claim depreciation expense on the cost report, and it's part of that reimbursement that we get. But if you overstate your useful life, you don't get to claim any salvage expense when you get rid of that asset. And so we had things on the schedule at 39 years that were like 7 or 10 years, and so we would have 25% of that we get to depreciate, and we would lose the cost of the remainder of that asset. And so I think
so first of all, the pieces that he's talking about is the COVID construction project.
Yep. So when they did that right before I got here and that got put into service, that's when that took place. So it was over $3 million project, and I'm estimating that the net gain back to us, like true cash value, is going to be over $500,000. So, and once that goes on the first cost report, we can't restate that, so it's locked in. So we're going to have to restate, do a corrected cost report because it hasn't been settled yet. So we still have the ability, we're in that window, to still submit a corrected cost report, and that should really have a significant cash value back to us in the long run. It'll probably have pretty significant changes to our 2021 audit, but the AR numbers are going to do that as well. So I know this is definitely not been a normal process, and I don't foresee this being an ongoing issue with the audit, but we're catching some very meaningful true dollars back to the hospital in this process, so it's going to be worth it in the long run. So.
That's all I have.
So in the last 2 months, we've paid out another $3 million for our cash on hand. construction bill somewhere around half.
I haven't even looked at that number this month yet. Sure. It's over 8.
Mm-hmm. It should be close to half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of goal would you put on your cash on hand as well?
It has to be below 100. There's not like a... It'd be really easy if they gave us a clear-cut number. We have to be under a certain amount. 96, I feel like, is still a little high. Because I'd rather play that safe to make sure we get that interest expense. So I think we're safer being at, like, 85 days than we are at 95 days. But we have the ability, you know, to... You know, and I think that's Becky and I need to connect. We were going to try to do it today, but I think we have the ability through future payouts of, you know, as we get closer to the end of the year when that's going to go into service, of, you know, maybe paying a future payout to reduce that number down, or buying some capital equipment to reduce that number down. You know, so that's something we'll definitely be mindful of and watching as we get closer. So we don't have any risk there, because losing 5 days cash on hand, but gaining that interest expense is going to be, we'll get that dollar, those dollars in the bank back faster.
So at the end of January, it's about $8.5 million. And I know the upcoming payout is about $600 and something, I believe, it's somewhere like that.
Didn't you include that the legislature, like, put those monies back to him, where we have this pending application for grants? I can't remember what you said last quarter. I mean, what was our grant? Because it's a couple million?
It's just under $1.6 million. Okay. So, between the two of them combined.
Do you have any idea of the timing of what they might
decide? I don't. I'm not fully sure on when that would be. I'm hopeful that they're going to try to get that scheduled as soon as those funds are really allocated there, so we can get moving there.
Remember, like, one of only two or three that they actually didn't fund but put into that pot or something?
Well, no, I think there's about 15 of us or so that maybe made that. I don't know an exact count, but there was a handful that they had suggested funding, like the State Health Department had suggested funding, and both of ours were in the suggested funding originally. But it sounds like they put enough dollars in to fund the remaining projects. I don't think they're going to open it up for new applications, is the last I heard, but that was a couple months ago when I heard that. Especially if we have to drop ours down, then the hospital's going to be probably close to $9 million, maybe a little bit more than that when it's all said and done. If the grant's 1.6, you know, we're well on the way to getting this thing covered and having some additional funds left over, or be able to, you know, help the OR situation or some of those parking. I think some of those things. So I think we're in a, from a financial standpoint, I think we're in a really good position with what we're able to kind of kick in with all of this.
Any other questions on the financial report? All right, the lights can come up. There's an addition to the agenda, which is Rocky Mountain Power approval.
Yeah, so we had submitted an application when we had approved phase two to move some power lines. So the power lines off Lott Street going in front of the therapy clinic, and then back here in the parking lot to be able to do our parking lot expansion. The one in front of the therapy clinic actually gets buried, and the one back here, they just kind of reroute it. But the total cost to do the work is $66,000. So it's definitely an expensive project. we're kind of at a standstill with the therapy clinic until we get that moving. They actually were out trying to get things trenched. They're starting to get the ground heaters out so we could get the trenching done and trying to get things moving so we don't delay that project. But it's kind of been a foreseen. I've been kind of waiting for this, I guess, for this invoice for quite a while. But this one fell out of the... It had to be owner requested and kind of out of Odell's hands just because of that relationship with the power company being with us. And the stipulation, I guess, decided that's how that needs to work. So
it was outside of the original
dollar amount. Yeah.
So what do we do?
There's not really a great second choice unless we want to walk past a shell building for a long period of time.
I make a motion to pay them $66,000 for the electrical line.
Awesome.
They're moved and seconded. Any further discussion? There being none, those in favor say aye. Those opposed? Hopefully that, say they've already started, that's more or less.
They laid out blanket warmers today, so. So nothing that can't be undone quickly, but. Yeah.
There are no other items on the agenda except for an executive session. So we'll take about a 3-minute recess. If we can have a motion to go into executive. In favor, say aye.